Support for the Morning News comes from the Homer Foundation. Spring is a busy season for community grant making on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Scholarship committees meet, city grants are awarded, and the Homer Foundation's Youth Advisory Committee reviews proposals and recommends funding for youth-focused programs. Information about community grants, scholarships, and the Homer Foundation is available at homerfoundation.org. The Homer Foundation. Give. Grow. Grant.
Today is Friday, July 31st, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. First, an Anchorage couple say reckless behavior on a Kenai beach is responsible for the death of their service dog who was hit by a speeding ATV last week. Daniel Charlie Cortez had traveled from Anchorage to Dipnet when two-year-old Juana was struck. Cortez remembers Juana, a mixed breed rescue with black fur, as well behaved and attentive. Cortez has a medical condition that makes him lose consciousness. Juana was trained to alert him before an episode, wake him after losing consciousness, and seek help from others if needed.
This dog was the most perfect dog that naturally just, you know, it was in her nature.
Kenai limits ATVs to 10 miles per hour when driven near people. Cortez says he didn't see law enforcement patrolling the area when Juana was killed, and while a friend spoke with police, officers didn't arrive before he took Juana to the veterinarian.
Definitely in situations like with Kenai Beach and Kusilov Beach, where there's a lot of dip netters and a lot of movement, I think it's hard when there's no enforcement, right? It's like the Wild West.
Although Kenai's personal use fishery is managed by the state, the city of Kenai helps facilitate day-to-day operations on fishing grounds inside city limits. That includes seasonal enforcement by the Kenai Police Department. Police Chief Dave Ross says they bring on 5 extra officers each summer specifically to patrol the fishery. They are the ones who write parking tickets and check fishing permits. They are also in charge of monitoring how fast ATVs, dune buggies, and other beach vehicles are traveling. Ross says no charges were against the driver of the ATV in this case, but he has asked Kenai's seasonal officers to more closely monitor beach traffic. Claire Cortez, Daniel's wife, says Juana's tragedy could happen to anyone. Next time, she says it could be a person who gets hit. Claire is a born and bred Alaskan. She says reckless behavior on the beach threatens what makes summer fishing in Alaska so special.
We, as a community in Alaska, need to help protect one another. And if we do see somebody acting recklessly or somebody driving when they shouldn't be, things like that, it's important to speak up.
Since Juana's death, Daniel and Claire have had an outpouring of support. They are asking people who want to help to donate to Kenai Peninsula Animal Lovers, the rescue organization that brought them Juana exactly 2 years and one day before she died. Daniel described the experience as poetic. The same veterinarians who treated Juana the day she died also took care of her as a puppy before she was adopted. And he says they are grateful to see the community love Juana as much as he and Claire did. As Cortez goes through the process of finding and training a new service dog, he hopes her story will be an enduring call for vigilance when Alaskans take to the beach each summer. A salvage team is expected to clean up the wreckage of a grounded ship near St. George Island next month, but tens of thousands of gallons of fuel and other oils have already spilled into the ocean nearby. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation said in a report last week that there will be no more spill response for the fishing vessel Arctic Sea that wrecked in early January. The 135-foot boat ran aground on the north side of the Pribilof Island in the early morning of January 5th. The U.S. Coast Guard pulled the 9-member crew from the boat. No injuries were reported, but the vessel remained aground as salvage teams waited for improved weather conditions to evaluate the wreckage. Resolve Marine is an international marine salvage company with a shipyard and warehouse in Dutch Harbor. The company began salvage operations and evaluations in mid-January and has now been contracted to remove the wrecked ship. Resolve's survey team says all tanks on the vessel have been compromised and are either full of seawater or empty. The vessel is beginning to break apart, with cracks on both sides of the hull. Parts of the wave, wall, and bow have completely broken free, according to the state's report. In early June, a separate salvage company performed a pollution survey. The team found just one of the fuel tanks full of diesel. The state found about 45,000 gallons of fuel from the other tanks had washed out due to damage. About 2,000 gallons of lube oil and hydraulic fluid has also been washed out. All fish holds were found open and empty. The Resolve survey team saw no sign of diesel or hydraulic oil on the vessel during their evaluation in late June. The area is home to many migratory birds and marine mammals, including sea lions, the threatened Steller's eider, and endangered short-tailed albatross. The state says drone surveys show heavy bird use on all cliffs near the wreck site and no sheen observed in the area. A team has also collected mussel samples from the island to establish a baseline level of contamination and assess potential shellfish contamination during the wreck removal operations. The state's Environmental Conservation Department says work is set to begin in early August and should be completed before winter begins. And last up, Pacific Spaceport Complex, Alaska, on Kodiak Island could see up to 18 government launches over the next 2 years. That's after the U.S. Air Force recently awarded a $266 million contract with Rocket Lab out of California for at least a dozen suborbital launches at the Narrow Cape facility. The Department of Defense announced the contract last week. It calls for at least 12 suborbital launches, with the option for 6 more by the end of 2028. Although the announcement did not provide additional details about the launches, a spokesperson for Rocket Lab told KMXT that they will be used for missile defense tests. Alaska Aerospace Corporation's CEO and president, John Oberst, told the Kodiak Daily Mirror that the spaceport is building a new dedicated launch pad for Rocket Lab's launches. The spaceport already has 6 pads and is using millions of dollars of federal funding it was awarded earlier this year to upgrade its facilities with the goal of attracting more private and government contractors. In an email, a Rocket Lab spokesperson said Alaska, quote, opens up more trajectories under operational conditions that can't be replicated anywhere else, end quote. Alaska Aerospace has worked with Rocket Lab in the past using its mobile equipment for range, safety, and telemetry system to help the commercial company with its first 10 launches. According to Oberst, Alaska Aerospace was part of the reason Rocket Lab got off the ground at its facility in New Zealand years ago. Alaska Aerospace Corporation owns and operates the Pacific Spaceport Complex, Alaska, at Narrow Cape, which is one of only 4 orbital vertical rocket launch sites in the country. And that's it for this morning's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 in Homer, 88.1 FM in Seward through translator K201AO and online at kbbi.org. Tonight's newscast included stories from KDLL's Jake Dye, KUCP's Maggie Nelson, and KMXT's Davis Avi. Thanks for listening, and good morning.